Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, pretty decent week for you. Some bigger news, some good news in this little system that the WWE has now started with IDing. People out there who are independent wrestlers who are getting a little bit of recognition and, shall we say, a placehold, essentially, by the WWE.
Yeah, you know, they've put out a list, a guy that we really like a lot, Jack Cartwheel, great dude. You know, good to see he got on there. And there's definitely some talent that I've heard of that I know is doing good things. And there's also talent that I'd never heard of that are now going to probably get a lot more bookings because of that. But, you know, I'm a little disappointed with the wrestling school thing, obviously, because we have a great school. We produce great people. We got great trainers. And, you know, right now they decided they're going strictly with WWE. I guess you could say whether it's through Legends contract or sign with them, the Seth Rollins, they just announced a partnership, and you know, Seth Rollins is a 12-week school, so which I was unaware of until I just read the thing that they partnered up with WWE, which is a good thing to send them there, because I guarantee you, if that their format at their school wasn't that way, it's definitely going to be a 12-week crash course on what to expect that if you get offered a WWE contract. So, you know, you got 12 weeks to go in there. And then you got Booker T school, obviously, Rikishi school, and Cody Rhodes' school. So, you know, it is what it is. So, but powers that be, they obviously know exactly who we are. And, you know, Ice Williams was announced at the Booker T show. Unfortunately, you know, we were hoping that at least we'd get the announcement, but the fact of the matter is, you know, when it first came out, I was like, what the fuck? It's like, hey, reality of wrestling is like, oh no, 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 it's not reality of wrestling's Ice Williams, it's FSW's. And you know, as I said, I've talked with Gabe in the process, and you know, I knew some things before they were released, so I was pretty sure that the acknowledgement of where he actually trained would come out, and it did. A little nervous when I saw a couple of the posts, because I knew it was happening, and you know, funny story was, you know, Ice was trying to work our show Saturday, had some issues at work because he got sent to Booker T's show on Sunday because they were going to make the announcement. So Ice knows. I know. But Ice doesn't know that I know. So I sent him a message. I'm like, hey, they're going to be making the Ice announcement at Booker's show? And then he put, like, you know, like the five bug eyes. Like, what you talking about, Willis? You know, and then he gives me the, as Ice likes to do, he gives me the audio messenger feature on Facebook, and he hits me up. He's like, what you talking about? I'm like, dude, like, I know, relax. I talked to Gabe too. You know, he told me to keep it under wraps. So that's what I did, you know, and, you know, went from there. And then it was like, it was weird because everybody got that ID, and then Booker's made the announcement and they had it out, but it took a whole day afterwards, and they were announcing people just as announcing people. It was like, here, Ice got announced, and they still hadn't put the thing out. I'm like, what the fuck? And then Mikey sent me a message because I sent him. I was like, yeah, it's like it's being presented as, you know, a Booker guy. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he was the first one to send me where it said the WWE ID, the official one. and it said scouted from Future Stars of Wrestling. And it's like,
right,
all we want is the acknowledgement of it and, you know, let people know that, you know, he trained there from scratch, you know. Respect, right, trained there from scratch. Solo Sikoa trained there from scratch. You know, we offer, you know, some great things. You know, there's plenty of people that washed out like they do at every school, but, you know, we've produced, you know, I don't know what wrestling school in WWE has produced three guys that are signed and one that's in developmental. You know, and again, I'm not going to count LA Knight because he didn't train with us in any way, but we have three people that we trained, and now Ice. So that's four. It's like, I don't know. Anybody else know of four? I'm not sure. So, you know, not counting with, you know, we had gotten signed to TNA and Jacob Boston Young killing it in New Japan and Matt Vandergriff undefeated in New Japan.
Right.
You know, that's seven people.
Yeah.
Five, six, eight. Eight people. So, right, you know, not counting the great talent that we use. So, you know, as a student, you got to put in the work. You know, there's so much talent out there. It's like, I don't know how other wrestling schools are, but off the top of my head, I can name 10 more people. You tell me a Gregory Sharp couldn't be ID'd? You know, Matt, a Damian Drake. You know, everybody loves the Bret the Threats.
Right.
Maserati. You know, look at all the people that, you know, they use from FSW on, you know, the AEW, when not only in Vegas, sure, but when they're in Arizona and California, they make the call. So,
right. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, again, you know, one of the things I think that is kind of important, and you know, this goes back to UPW being associated with WWE, and this transfers into the fact that you have Sin teaching and, you know, the guys that you have with experience, professional experience teaching. You know, one of the big advantages students get at FSW is you get a sense of, A, how to put a match together that makes sense in his storytelling arc, and B, how to work the ring so that you know where the camera angles are. Being aware of working for TV is something that's really an important thing if you want to go to the next level. And that's one of the things that all of these schools that, you know, are WWE affiliated, they're all, you know, schools that teach that stuff. And I think that that's, you know, one of the biggest thing is that you get that here, which puts you above, you know, Matt Vandergriff is having great success on this New Japan run as being the undefeated guy. And one of the reasons is you watch his matches, he plays like a professional on TV should play. And I think it just shows the depth and growth that so many people are having right now. And you saw a lot of that work on the show this past Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, we had a good turnout. We raised almost $1,000 for Chris Bay. You know, obviously we'd love to do more down the line. You know, there's talks. We Sin Bodhi has started the design on his limited Chris Bay figures.
That looks really good.
You know, covering, you know, the costs. Obviously, we don't expect Sin to do it for free, but we're charging $200 for the figure, and it probably costs Sin a little bit more, but he's getting $50 to cover his cost of the figures. So all the rest of that money is going directly to Chris. So, you know, we're taking pre-orders. That way Sin doesn't overdo it or underdo it. But once he gets the figures set for the 3D system, each figure kind of it drops in what his total cost is.
Right.
So, you know, if he makes three or four of them, well, he's nowhere near his cost at $50 a pop. But hopefully we'll sell 10 or 20 and it just covers his cost. But it also makes everybody aware, and hopefully it increases Sin's business because he's done some great work. And I know, you know, from what I see, he seems to be making more money than wrestling on a weekend. It's like he's selling a lot of these figures and they look great. So, you know, you go on there and I included a picture that way. If you didn't know what you're getting, now you know. But you can also do a custom for yourself. You know, I know MK's probably got 50 of his own, you know. But, you know, there's people who's like to sponsor the guy Joseph at Arizona. And it was like, hey. And he said he already has three or four. But, like, he can get a Gypsy Mac or a Dante King or a Sky High. And, you know, I've talked with Sin a lot. And it's like, I really want to do, you know, I know the figures are probably this big. It's like, but the price point for him to make some money, and the average fan right now might be a gap of this much also. So it's like, hey, how'd you grab my drink? Oh, wait.
I know, right?
Wait, has the buy drink been seen in the same place? Yeah, you got the cherry. I got the kiwi. That's become my favorite.
Ah.
But yeah, but with the Sin thing, it's like he's making sales all over the place. And right. I would love, just like we've done that Phil Singer Games, and it's the indie wrestling stuff, and the cards look awesome. I'd love to do maybe instead of the, I think Sin's is 6-inch figures. Well, maybe if we could cut the cost down because we're doing the 3-inch figures, you know, maybe we can get it in that $50 to $60 price range where Sin makes a few bucks to do it. Right. And you're getting a collection of, you know, the FSW superstars, you know, guys like Bodie, and, you know, Bodie brings that to a GCW show for $60. I'm probably sure he could probably sell a few.
Right.
Because, you know, Sin's got to make his money, and then Bodie's got to make his money. So there's got to be a happy medium, you know. So guys, especially the ones that travel a lot on the Fridays and the Saturdays and the Sundays, you know, obviously Jake the Snake's got tons of those figures he's gotten from Sin Bodie that he that he could sell and sign them. And for him to get 200 or 250 is simple.
Right.
But for an indie wrestler that's trying to make 20, 30 bucks on one of those, you know, when a price point is 70 or 80, you now got to sell it at 100 or 120.
Right.
You know, that's really difficult. So, you know, we're trying to figure out a $50 price point maximum. So, you know, that's something to work on for the new year because, you know, a Hammerstone, a, you know, he's all over the place.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to buy this super cool Hammerstone figure? This one's different than, say, an MLW figure.
Right.
Where, you know, the quality's less. It's a $20 figure. Hammerstone's really not benefiting hugely from it. It's great to have the figure, obviously, but now you got your own figure and you can make more money selling that, obviously, than a t-shirt. But that's way cooler to have if you're a fan. You know, we had the little one. Somebody made like a little Funko one that we were selling for 20 or 30 bucks. We didn't have a lot of them, but what we had, we moved very quickly. So
yeah. No, and I think that's something that is very, you know, in this day and age, the physical, you know, collector's item, it's amazing what you can do now by printing your own figures. And, you know, it goes to show, too, with the the fans who put their money into the belts as well. It's like those are the two big things that you can have physically, you know, that you can display. And I think it's something now that, you know, fans with the excess cash, you know, are able to do that. Whereas, you know, it used to be so limited in the past to the $10 toy belt and the, you know, the Jax figure.
Yeah, you know, I can't find one now. This guy, Daryl, who used to train with us for a while, he manipulated one and made it look like me. And it's a great job. I usually have it around here somewhere, but when the thing's gotten moved, I can't find it. But maybe before the show's over, I'll figure it out. But yeah, and it's like, it's super cool to have your own. And, yeah, you know, some of these wrestlers, because again, here's the deal. So if you're Maserati, for example, and we can get a price point, and she says, hey, Sin, you know, because I know this is how it's structured. If you do one, it's this price. If you do five, it's this price. If you right. do 10, it's this price. Well, when you're out on the road a lot, you can start the pre-orders and doing all the stuff. So now Sin's bottom line is X instead of Y. So now you can buy 10 of them for a cheaper price. And that way you can move yours. And it's like people want something different. They want something cool. They don't, you know, they don't want the same thing everybody else has if they can get something different. So it's like, right. you know, so that should be a, especially Christmas. And I know he's busy and all the other stuff, but it's like the most important one's making that first figure because right. that becomes the template. Right. And, but, you know, doing 10 templates of one item, it's going to cost like $100 each. You right. know, who's to ask somebody, hey, Sin, I need 15 templates, but I'm not going right. to give you the $1,500. You know what I mean? And it's right. like, you know, and it's yeah. Christmas time. Like, who right. wants that Heart Foundation doll? Or, hey, can you do the, you know, it's easier for him to do Macho Man Randy Savage because he's got probably four different versions that are already in the can.
Right.
Then, hey, let's do an original Bloodline.
Right.
Or let's sure. do Lights, Camera, Faction. You know, how cool would that be? So.
Yeah.
You know I've been scouring. I remember Jeff Dino at SoCal Pro. And he had the Johnny Yumas and Johnny Good Times and his crew. And I remember talking to him, and he got him out of Mexico. And they came with a box if you bought a certain amount. But yeah. the cost was like $10 each, but you had to buy like 50 to 75 or something.
Right.
Well, we originally had the thought, you know, the Reno Scum at the time, Funny Bone. These were guys that were always in different cities.
Right.
And they can sell them for $30 and make $20 a pop. But right. unfortunately, it took a while from when he first started it that company went out of business.
Sure.
Ricky yeah. Mandel was another one. They were SoCal Crazy. I think they had 6 to 8 of them themselves.
Yeah.
That they were great. Like they were the only company that I knew of that had their own little figures.
Right.
That looked like if you went to Toys R Us or you went to Kmart and you were looking for that WWE figure.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, Joe, if you made a run of figures of yourself that were big enough that the guys could bash around, I'm sure that a number of people backstage would eat those up quickly.
No doubt, you know, the fucking lowlife that I am, you know, all I've not done for people. It's amazing what I haven't done for people who weren't good enough to get something done for. It's just unbelievable. It's my fault that their mediocrity hadn't been rewarded.
Which I believe the show Saturday was called State of Emergency, not Mediocrity Unwarded. Unrewarded Mediocrity.
Yeah, that'll be another one.
Yeah.
That'll be like a future shock.
A future shock. A nice turnout on Saturday. And some pretty solid wrestling. Anything that stuck out to you off the top of your head? Because you actually kind of got to watch more of the show than you usually do.
More than usual. But again, you know, we were up at the front and there was 8 of us there, 10 of us. So there's a lot of talking going on. So again, you're not really fully focused on what you see.
Right.
So it's like you kind of got to go back and figure, you know. I thought, and again, you hate to be negative on certain things, and it's 2 good wrestlers, but I thought the Kaya Dream and Zamaya just didn't flow the way it needed to. First time meeting. So you're looking forward to, you know, 2 people who don't really know each other, and it was kind of bumpy, you know what I mean? And I know Zamaya ended up tweaking her knee. So, you know, that could be part of it also. And there's no doubt, you know, Culture Inc. has done good things. So it isn't like, you know, you're bringing in somebody who's not capable. Right. You know, we've said it a million times, you know, not everybody's going to go out and have a really good match. So that was on the disappointing side of things. The other women's match went well. I thought the finish came off really good. And, you know, it's a good setup as we have Alice Blair and Maserati at Look at the Draw. The tag team contenders match went pretty much the way I expected it. Up until the end when, you know, unfortunately the helping from Sky High turned out to kind of backfire. So, you know, they've had their issues. So that there's a lot going on in that. And Bateman against Vandegrift now at the Luck of the Draw, that's a top-tier match. You know, yeah. Unfortunately, it's not getting doesn't get a lot of time and not a lot of a setup in that because he won a contenders match. But, you know, that's going to be a sleeper match right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just announced today it's Damian Drake and Eli Everfly. And anytime I can have Eli Everfly on a show, I'm always excited about it. So The 4 matches, and now we turn the tag match into a triple threat. So the 4 matches outside the Rumble and who Danny Limelight's going to wrestle is awesome, you know? Yeah. So, and now we have a 30-person Rumble. We have 2 women already, Zamaya and Gypsy Mac. And then we've announced Bad Dude Tito's coming back. We got Hammerstone. We got Shogun. We got WWE ID's Ice Williams and the rest of the faction. We're about to announce Kenny King's going to be in the Rumble. So it's star-studded.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're saying, hey, what FSW superstar, you know, and I'm still trying to the pain drain, Dave Bazzani returns.
Nice.
So
you're gonna have to keep running two battle royals a year so Dave can get
at least the ring. I gotta figure out how to get to 4.
Yeah.
And you know, we're still in talks with UFC veteran Gina Mazzani if Dave can get her out here.
Man, that'd be nice to see Gina come back for...
You know, we also just announced Mariachi Montana, and we're going to announce Greatness and Tenacious. We were talking about the factions. The idea is we're going to put the tag teams together, and we're going to let them come out together. Yeah.
That's great.
And the Killer D's, unfortunately, Davion's not making the show. We already had the flyer ready to go, and Davion won't be there, but the Killer D's would have been there. And, you know, right now I'm at 25 that we've announced 20, but there's 25 down there, and I got to verify a couple, confirm. but there's about 8 or 9 spots available. So there's still the idea of, well, maybe Bryce Saturn and Damian Desire have been working as a tag team over the last few shows. Just because I don't want it. It's a 30-person rumble. Well, it's 30 entrants. So if the 30 entrants is 33 or 34, and that's what gets us there, fantastic.
Right.
But I don't want to extend the time. It's a long match to begin with. You know, it's close to an hour.
Right.
So the idea is trying to find a couple of former champions who maybe we haven't seen in a while that are coming out. Sugar Brown returns.
At this point, is it really a return now for Sugar?
No, but yeah, it's his first Rumble match in a few years. So, you know, he'll be there. Clutch will be there. Oh, no, I believe Sugar Brown may have been in the Rumble last year. I don't know. Was it?
I don't think so, right? That would have been his, because that would have been his return. And
thought he returned because he got involved, and I don't think it was the Battle Royal, but it might have been the Battle Royal. I don't know. It might have been the Battle Royal, the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal in June, possibly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because then he got involved, and then he was in the Survival of the Fittest
match. Fittest, yeah. Any chance we see, some blast from the past that we haven't seen in a while? Like, an Alcatraz or a Disco?
I thought I had a shot with Alcatraz that he, he died the Santa beard, but, again, still working on it. You know, love to get Disco to come out. He was a little banged up, and last I had talked to him, he was talking about possible surgery, but wasn't sure he was going to do it.
Wow.
So, because, yeah, I reached out to my guy Alex Wright, who was in the States last week. Doing one of the big con festivals that was on the East Coast. That's my guy.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights, Berlin. One of the nicest wrestlers I met back in the day. I remember having long conversations with him after I met him at the grand opening of the Nitro Grill, where he grilled me because he was out at that time because he had that bad neck injury. Before he came back as Berlin.
As Berlin,
And he grilled me for not knowing, supposedly being a wrestling journalist and not knowing. But we ended up striking up a friendship, became pretty friendly. We had one of his guys from Germany who was actually coming out, who worked the show, who shockingly enough turned on Remy Marcel. And it was a tag team match. It was actually Disco Inferno and Sean Ricker, now LA Knight, against Remy Marcel. And we may have had our guy, the VIP, but Alex Wright's guy was the MVP.
Not to get confused with the MVP.
Correct. So I think he was MVP. I got to double check, unless that guy was called VIP back in the day. But this was at the old school, so it had to be about 2010 or 2011.
Wow.
And yes, Alex Wright guy turned on Remy Marcel and aligned himself with Disco Inferno. The ultimate, the final burn to the Disco Alex Wright Boogie Nights team.
And it also goes to show that if you tag with Disco, you can still go on to become a very famous WWE superstar without Disco actually holding you back.
There you go. Everybody talks, but everybody who trained with him back in the day were like, man, any chance we can get Disco back? He was the best trainer. He's so great.
Yeah.
And, he focused and keyed on certain things. He was a different type of trainer, but his vision, we used to joke all the time about the alien invasion and all the stuff. And I might have told the story once, but for the people who don't know, back in the day, Disco was part of the booking team, and he said there was Tanay, and there was a lot of people, and he said he got there early, so he took a board and he came up with these, you know, crazy ideas, and it was all meant as a joke, but then again, it became like, oh, he wants Mike Tanay to wear the ears, and he turns out to be an alien, and it was all a fucking joke, and it was like, you know, where the Ding Dongs wasn't a joke, which you would have thought would have been a joke. I love the Ding Dongs. I thought it was hilarious. But, you know, the thing with Tanay, Bill Ding was one of the guys, and, you know, and if you don't know Disco, you don't get Disco. Right. But if you know Disco, he's fucking hilarious.
Right.
You know, and as I said, when we did FSW GCW 1, the most heat that there was in any match was Effie versus Disco. Yeah. And Disco had no problem whatsoever putting over Effie. The crowd went berserk. They even like kind of turned on Effie. Oh, I got a ghost behind me right there. Do you see that?
Yeah, probably. It's probably just a little bit of phlegm.
Got on the camera. It looks like you know, I'm watching the show Ghosts, and there's the thing in the background. That's weird because I don't smoke, if you know what I'm saying, and don't have the carts or the, you know, the things that they get at the dispensary.
Yeah. New Music and Furrow says that was a fun match. Regarding, I believe, the Effie and Disco match.
I guess we're live. I didn't realize
that. That was a particularly good, you know.
And he was surprised. It's funny, you know,
and I think that...
I was saying he cut the promo, and then Effie came out and answered back. And I remember after the match, Disco was like, man, he's really good on the mic. I didn't realize this. You know, and it was a good banter, and the crowd was behind it. But it was funny how many people were disgusted that Effie, you know, wrestled Disco. And it's like, you know, try to enjoy what you're a wrestling fan. You know, right. Disco has always done great business, you know. And it's funny because, like I said, that was the only match. Because I was going to have Effie wrestle Jay Vidal. That was the only match that Brett actually wanted, because we were going to do Ricky Morton in a Lava Lounge segment with Disco. And when Ricky Morton had to fly back the next day because he did the GCW show in Vegas. So he's like, what about Effie and Disco? I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? He's like, well, see if we can do that. And I hit up Disco because the idea was not to really have a match. He was like, yeah, I'm down. And, you know, people were offended that Effie was, I can't believe it. And it was just like, it was the most fun time, because one thing about Disco, man, he knows how to get under the skin of somebody who doesn't like him. He knows how to take that knife and really dig it in. So it became a bigger moment when Effie did win the match.
Right. And it was really done well. And again, you know, that's the one thing with Disco. I don't think, you know, over the years, you can look, you just go back and you watch, you know, what his evolution in WCW was. And the one thing that always stands out is he is a guy who always was smart about things. He didn't have to be Chris Benoit. You know, he didn't have to be this incredible wrestler, because Disco could, you know, look at you one way and the crowd could just go crazy mad at that guy. Or, you know,
Cody Rhodes could talk all the shit he wants about Disco, but Dusty had a big hand in putting Disco in good positions. So it wasn't a rib. Yeah. Everybody didn't laugh at him over the thing. And it's like, you know, Disco embraced being the hated guy. And, you know, That's like saying, well, you know, X-Pac only got where he was because of, you know, Sean and Nash and
oh God, yeah.
And what's his face? Razor Ramon, Razor. Scott Hall. And it's like, you know, just incredible. Well, just incredible wasn't good enough. And he was part of the clique, and he didn't become a world champion. It's like understanding where your level is. Boogie Nights was entertaining. Disco was entertaining. When we're in the Lava Lounge, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, I always remembered the first one with Jody Christofferson. And, you know, Disco told stories about Chris Christofferson being a janitor and things most people didn't really know about.
Yeah.
And really egged on Jody that the fans wanted to see Jody kill Disco.
Right.
And it ended up, like, not saying it was a waste of booking to bring in LA Knight, Sean Ricker, and Memphis Mofo at the time, but having Jody and Brandon Gadsden in that tag match with Disco really turned up the heat because a lot of people really didn't know Jody too well at that point. And Gadsden, and you know, Ricker was around a bit, and Mofo came from legit Memphis and he came in a few times, and that made that match a big deal just because of Disco. Same thing when we did the first time we had Jimmy Superfly Snuka on the show, and we did a Lava Lounge, and it ended up being Snuka Jr. versus Disco.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about Snuka Jr., unfortunately. All, not saying nobody cared, but everybody cared about wanting to see Jimmy Superfly Snuka get his hands. You know, I remember at Scott Hosey's place, a grandfather telling the grandkid, I see all that guy when he used to jump off the top of the cage. And I remember when I was a little kid and when Superfly hit the Superfly Splash, couldn't do it from the top, but did it from the second rope. That was a huge moment in FSW's history.
Right.
That the Superfly was there and he got physical and he laid out Disco. And Disco, on numerous occasions, has made himself the fall guy for the better of the business. And that's what he did is the trainer. And that's why Disco Inferno got put into the FSW Wrestling Hall of Fame. Because of everything he did behind the scenes. He'd come in on his day off, not asking for money, to do color commentary for us. And, you know, a lot of people, Disco, he's, you know, he's shitting on the wrestlers. And it's like, okay, well, when you're not good enough and you're doing stupid shit, he's not going to fucking sugarcoat it. Yeah. Get better.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants the truth, except when it's not, except when it's bad.
Right.
All they want to hear is the five good things they did and not the one or 20 bad things they did.
Right.
And Disco was going to give you constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So, you know, how this became a Disco rant, I have no idea. But it's great talking about Disco.
We'll have to see. Maybe we can coax Glenn onto the podcast one day because we haven't.
You know, the Sapphire School should be closed in November, you know?
Right. You know, what did you think? We mentioned Kaya Dream in that match, but thought Malik working Matt was it just was the perfect way to work Matt's leg, make Matt still look strong, make Malik look good, and
then did Malik make himself look good?
Oh, Malik made himself look good. Come on now. Come on.
You know, that was one match. And again, there was so much going on that night. So it's like you're running around. And from what I hear, it was a really, really good match. And I can't expect that it wouldn't have been. But, you know, I have to go back and go to the Triller stream and check it all out. But, you know, from what I'm told, that was as expected. You know, I told those guys, I'm like, hey, you know, this is the match. Go out there and do your thing, you know, shine.
Yep. Yeah, they did. And, you know, you got to watch your color commentators interfere.
What the fuck? This fucking guy getting himself involved.
It's like, you know, when he doesn't have an association with anyone, he kind of does his job. But then when he has association,
you know,
gets involved. What's going on? Involved. We haven't seen NJ in a ring, you know, in a while. Maybe.
No, I believe the last time was we didn't have him as a commentator when Eli Knight was out here for the Future Legend Tournament. When Eli Knight, the other member of Culture Inc.
Culture Inc. Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. It's the relationships that are made. And, you know, as I told Gabe, you know, future stars of wrestling. So, yeah, if you want to send any of those ID guys, and again, you know, Joe's always thinking. So it's like, hey, WrestleMania weekend, FSW has a time slot. I'm throwing it out there right now before anybody tries to steal my idea. Why not have as many a WWE ID show? Matt Vandergriff versus Jack Cartwheel, sure. Zeta Steel versus somebody. And I would imagine that would be a great place because a lot of them are going to be out here anyway.
Yeah.
Why not we do a show based around that? Now, they could steal it and run it at the NXT Apex, sure, I guess. But especially now we're streaming live. Everybody knows. Now that's my idea, and I'm going to message Gabe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're talking, you know, and that's another idea about the workshop that we had talked about that it might end up maybe we do something with the WWE in that situation.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, there's a lot of possibility, especially too, you know, like for instance, do you have you ever talked with Seth Rollins' school?
Me, no, I've never talked or met him.
Okay, all right, because Rikishi, that's something
I talked to on numerous occasions.
Yeah, exactly.
Booker T, we've worked together before.
So maybe, you know, that's
I hear they're still, you know, NJ hit me up the other day, something about Queen Charmel still looking to do stuff. Maybe even, you know, their own joint show with us.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we do have a venue. Here it is in my back pocket, the contract signed and everything. So, as well as our own venue, you know what I mean? Right. And it's like, that could be the Friday night time slot. I think the issue with that Friday night was Booker T's obligations to WWE, whether there's NXT and SmackDown starts at 5.
Well, and
we're looking at running at 8, but the question became what he could be available for. So right. He may want to do a Wednesday or Thursday.
Right. And one of those days is going to be the Hall of Fame, which I'm sure he's obligated for. So
right. And so that's the thing. So when is the Hall of Fame? It's usually on the Saturday, but now they're doing the 2-night WrestleMania that they always do.
Right.
So is the Hall of Fame usually, isn't it after SmackDown?
It was after SmackDown, but I think this year they moved it to Thursday. I think it was. So yeah, that's.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go look at the schedule and see. Because, again, if it isn't after SmackDown, we have Friday night at 8 o'clock. You know, we could push it a little bit because, you know, SmackDown, by then, from what I hear, might be a 3-hour show.
Yeah, that's been the potential rumor.
But if it's a 2-hour show, again, we're 5 minutes from an Allegiant. If we were at the Silverton, you know, we're less than 5 minutes there. We're, you know. Shit, you know, those flyers are going to be running rampant. hey, there's a show down the street right now with Booker T.
Well,
and Ice Williams.
And Ice Williams, of course. Bigger marquee name, Ice Williams or Booker T? I know what Ice would say.
Well, you know, the question becomes, where is Ice Williams's alliances?
Right.
You know, he could have, you know, if it was me, I would have demanded that the announcement be made at FSW. So, you know,
that's why Ice has an ID and you wouldn't.
You know, so...
For all you talking about the students making demands, and here you are.
Here I am. You could be the next Ice Williams.
Ice, how'd you lose your ID? Oh, I listened to Joe.
Yeah.
You know, the Mariachis and Bodie had a really... just a freaking solid match. What is it about, you know, Evan Daniels and the Arizona guys like that, that when you look at just how they're able to go in there and do exactly the job they're asked to do, and it looks perfect. It read so well. Those guys are kind of invaluable, especially Evan Daniels now is, I mean, you can't deny the guy looks like a million bucks.
No, and Evan Daniels was always a good worker. And I used to joke about Evan Daniels all the time, but in a loving way. You know, I was always, you know, just the exciting Evan Daniels. It never got past that. And I always gave that Ben Stein reference because that's when he worked with us, when Ben Stein was relevant. And I just always, in my mind, remember he'd hit a cool move and then he'd turn in the most monotone voice ever, like Ben Stein, and he'd be like, wasn't that exciting? And it was just like, if this dude would just play into the way he presents that, but he didn't. It was like we were all in on the joke, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now he's in amazing shape. You know, people don't realize when we did the IWF show and Tyson Tyler wanted Cross on the show, we picked Evan Daniels to be in the pre-show because we knew he was that good.
Yeah.
You know, Evan Daniels got to work on a show that had the Young Bucks, Shane Strickland, Trevor Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, Chris Hero, UHA Nation, Apollo Crews, ACH, Rich Swann was supposed to be because he was injured, AR Fox, LA Knight, and Drew McIntyre, like the who's who of professional wrestling 10 years later. If that show was booked today, people would be like, holy fuck, you must have spent $100,000 on that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah.
There's three guys that are millionaires that are on that show. LA Knight and the Young Bucks. Shane Strickland doing fucking fantastic for himself. Apollo Crews. He's still got that contract.
Same
Drew McIntyre, multi-million. Yep. Sorry, that's four.
And Ciampa.
And Ciampa.
Yeah.
Tag team champion and WWE heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Man. Who booked that motherfucker? That's right. It was me.
And Cross.
Dumbs.
And Cross.
And Cross. Holy shit. And the pre-show.
Right.
Matt Sydal. Go watch it.
when Seidel could, when he was still, he was still when he working was still good.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was called the Chosen One based off Drew McIntyre. Oh, yep. And the winner of the tournament who won a four-way against Chris Hero, Apollo Crews, and Drew McIntyre, Brian Cage, the Ring of Honor TV champion. He'd like for me to say a fifth millionaire. I'm not sure he's there, but he's also doing quite well for himself. So you want to find a card in 2015 that you say, holy shit, in 2024, you find me a better one.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you look now, you know, I think that's what you're starting to see is I think we're now on the cusp of what you see now. That's your 10 years from now. You know what I'm saying? Like the names you're seeing now, 10 years from now, you're going to probably have at least two or three on that hand going, you know, possible, you know, millionaire status.
Right. That was the last IWF show. The first IWF show had guys people didn't really know very well at all, other than maybe if you followed PWG, you would see a lot of them. But we had Ricochet versus Austin Aries. We had the opener, which was AR Fox, Rich Swann, Tony Nese, and JT Dunn. We had Chris Hero and Chris Masters. You know, we had second show, we had Ricochet versus Chris Sabin. We had Lance Hoyt versus Matt Hardy. But we also had Hammerstone and Tito and Che.
Yeah.
You know, and there were guys like we morphed, you know, the Rich Swans got replaced by the Shane Stricklands, who became that next group of people and the Trevor Lees. And it's funny, the cycle, it was like, they're gone. Who's the new crew? Well, now that new crew's gone. What's the next crew? And, yeah. And it's really insane at the idea back then was, man, if you took away 10 of those guys, it was probably hard to replace. But now, yeah, if you take those 10 guys out, there became so much talent that you can now have an AEW, a WWE, a TNA, a New Japan, and there's great talent everywhere. And WWE can now say, because I'm not sure they could have did that back in the day. And now right. They can say, hey, we're picking these guys. And instead of the NIL, where they're taking 30 guys and they're hoping one makes it,
right,
they're going to take 30 to 50 guys. And they're probably hoping 10 to 15 make it.
Right.
Because they've already done really good things on the independent circuit.
Right.
So, you know, because there used to be the idea of WWE doesn't really want independent wrestling because they have the bad habits that they now have to retrain you to do. And right. Now they've decided to go in and say, hey, you know what? You can go to some schools that are going to kind of train you from the beginning that way.
Yep. Now, and that's what they did 20 some odd years ago too. It's like,
right, when they did the HWA with Les Thatcher, then they went to Bassman on the West Coast. They had the Midwest with or wherever Cincinnati was with Les, that produced a lot of great talent. Then they did the Deep South after WCW was gone, and they had the Sarge running that, and they had a lot of the crew when they restarted ECW, the Mike Knoxes and Nykirks that we know. Yep. And now they're kind of at it again. And they can, because there is that much talent. And it's right. Like, you know, No secret. I'm not giving out WWE secrets, but from what we've read, Ice Williams can continue to work on AEW.
Right.
And if they decided they wanted a guy who's working for New Japan, he could still work for New Japan. So if he's not under a New Japan contract like a Matt Vandergriff, who's not.
Right.
Or I'm not aware of, but he's a guy. And now the deal is, which is great, the right of first refusal. It's like a free agent in baseball, football. So now if Ice Williams gets offered a contract at AEW, WWE could match the offer.
Right.
So how crazy would it have been when Chris Bay wrestled on 205 because Sanjay Dutt saw him backstage? What if Chris Bay was a WWE ID guy and now TNA made an offer? What would WWE have done?
Right. Right. Yep.
We don't know. But now we will know.
Right. Exactly.
And it's, you know, Jack Cartwheel's wrestled 100 times on AEW.
Yeah.
And he wrestles on GCW, and that's not going to change. But if you want this 25, 26-year-old dude, we're going to give you a little stipend. You know, it's not developmental, weekly money, whatever. It's a little something-something that this is what it's going to cost us to kind of keep you in the mix. But now you're on the radar.
Right.
Every single independent wrestling person, you know, I've seen people, wow, this is great. It's unbelievable. And then I've seen people, oh, this is shit. They fucking suck, WWE. They're holding people back. And I'll tell you exactly what Gabe told me, which came out later, was because we knew. He knew it was Ice.
Yeah.
You do not change anything the way you are putting a show together. We're not telling you he can't lose. We're not telling you finishes. We're not telling you nothing. Right. We are just telling you that you're going to use Ice. We know that. You're going to use other people. You know, because I was at, hey, are you willing? Of course I'm willing. You're going to bring Jack Cartwheel onto my show? You're going to have Jack Cartwheel come in and train with Sin Bodhi because Sin works with WWE also?
Right.
1,000%.
Right.
You know, there's a reason why it's called Future Stars of Wrestling. It isn't called, we want to replace WWE because we knew that wouldn't exist. Future Stars of Wrestling means we're setting the stage for you to hopefully get to be bigger than what we are capable of doing. Would I love to be bigger than WWE? Who the fuck wouldn't? Somebody want to give me $100 million? I'll take a shot. Yeah. But I guarantee you it ain't going to happen. Right. You could have all the money in the world, ask Tony Khan, and AEW couldn't beat NXT.
Well, wait a minute, Joe. Now, hold on. Tony made it. Big announcement that he got the rights to November Rain to play for video packages leading up to their November pay-per-views. So
that's why I said money's no object. He could have took the money he spent for that and paid me to be a developmental and still had money to put aside. You know how many more people are going to watch because November Rain's played on the show? Zero. Now, no, it's cool.
He's making those 700,000 men, white, who are 40 to 45 to 55, absolutely happy. He's great got song. His base happy.
How many people were very excited when WWE got to replay or AEW played Cult of Personality? You know, the dude in wrestling, that song is bigger than that song was in the world. Like, it was a good song,
right?
Top 10 hit, but nobody hears it now and like, oh, the only thing they hear is, oh shit, CM Punk song.
Right. But that's also a song that's associated with the wrestler and a ring song. This is literally a promo for like he doesn't know how to promote. He just knows, oh, if I put money and I say that I did something cool, that's like just mind. It's just like, dude, why don't you put more money into promoting that show in the local area and getting people into the seats than fucking getting that?
Okay, well, let me make this analogy to you, Matt. Okay, so being that you're a broke fuck, okay?
Right.
If you could do something really fucking cool and it cost you $10,000, you'd be like, fuck no, cost $10,000. But if I said, Matt, you can do this and I'm charging you 25 cents, are you going to do it? Of course you are. It doesn't matter if you're broke. Well, for Tony Khan, $1 million is basically like your 25 cents. That's why,
sure.
That's why the rich have toys. That's why you see somebody buy, holy shit, that $15 million house wasn't good enough for LeBron James. He had to get the $30 million house. Why?
Right.
Because he could.
Sure.
So Tony Khan must like the song November Rain.
Well,
if he liked, thank God he didn't like Wake Me Up Before You Go Go. Because if he played that in a video, people would be like, what the fuck is this motherfucker doing?
Well, at least he's doing it for the November pay-per-view, not using it for
anything. You know,
July pay-per-view.
Paul Heyman is probably wishing to this day that he didn't sell off ECW because imagine how much Tony Khan would have paid Paul Heyman for the rights to the name November to Remember.
Yeah.
And all those ECW shows. Because he did do like that ECW tribute thing. And
yeah.
Shit. I should have trademarked Against All Odds before TNA re-trademarked it while we were using it. I could have tried to sell it off.
Yeah.
Now we're luck of the draw.
Yeah. Exactly. So
if TNA wants to use that name, those motherfuckers are paying this time.
And, you know, speaking of all this money and being broke, and if you need supplements right now, Redcon One has up to 80% off plus a free $100 bundle when you shop America's favorite protein, pre-workout, creatine, energy drinks, and more. And the only reason I bring this up is because on Facebook, this is constantly playing now, being advertised by Brian Cage. So support Brian
and Redcon One. I thought they were your new sponsor. I was like, well, where the fuck? It's the DeFalco Files. Where's my money? I'm still waiting for that first payday.
You know what? Ask Cage. We just promoted Redcon One for him.
You know, so, at first, when you started the word Redcon, it sounded like you were going to start talking about Red Cup. Then I thought you were going to talk about the Red One movie with The Rock that people are basically saying it's worse than like Howard the Duck or something.
I can't wait to go see that. That is going to be phenomenal.
They are trashing that movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be Christmas bad, action movie Christmas bad. I can't wait. Yeah, it's that time of year. We need a good crappy rock action movie. So Luck of the Draw is coming up on the 24th, and we've talked a little bit about it in terms of what's on the card.
30-man Rumble. We found out who's going to be number one and number 29 when we had the Feast or Famine match. You know, it's a Thanksgiving thing, Feast or Famine. And Shogun defeated Watson. So Watson will start at number one, and Shogun will start at 29. We like to keep that 30 spot open, you know, hopefully because, you know, it is a random drawing. So, you know, it could be greatness and tenacious come out at 30.
Sure.
But we're hoping, you know, number 30 ends up being like this super cool surprise.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not like WWE when you know, you hear and number 30 and then you get the collective groans because they all thought it was going to be somebody that was coming back for the first time in 15 years.
And it's been so.
It ends up being Baron Corbin or something.
Yeah. Hey. Ooh. I think Corbin's still under his 90 days, right? You can't make him 30 for this one, can you?
Oh, too bad.
So that brings up an interesting question then. Watson being number one, in theory, could number one be the whole faction?
No.
Okay.
Because right. Because this year we were doing the tag teams anyway.
Okay.
So he really hasn't been, you know, they've been doing single stuff, Fresco and Watson, so we could have right. combined them, but they weren't being a tag team.
Right.
So they're kind of running their own. They're, you know, Braxton's been doing singles matches and Ice, and even though they've been teaming together a bit, they've been doing the singles stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, so right now, no, they are. Watson is definitely the first guy. He will come out all by himself.
Now, can we also possibly figure that Kenny King is number 30, because by the time he gets to the arena, it will probably be around number 26.
Well, unless it's Santana Jackson and we have him set at number 2 and he doesn't realize it, because last time at the Battle Royal, if it would have been a Rumble, he would have made it if he would have showed up at like number 30. But since the Battle Royal was everybody introduced, the match ended. And then all of a sudden, he walked from the Silverton parking garage, putting on his makeup. And I think Sin Bodhi told him, I think you're up next. And he had no idea, because I guess his girl read the page wrong somehow. But match one said Battle Royal. But there was also the listing for the ring announcer. So in defense, she may have read the list because Santana was going to be one of the last names we announced. Yeah. So she may have looked at that and thought it was like a Rumble and assumed that he was going to be like number 29 or something. Or 20, whatever, how many people we had for the Battle Royal. Yeah. Whatever it was. So, yes. So, Santana Jackson.
Mazzani's going to have to be ready to save the day again. And
yes.
Work on the fly.
You know, because I was wondering, I was like, when did Santana get eliminated? I'm looking. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. So I went back there. I'm like, who the fuck eliminated Santana? They're like, I never came out. And then 3 minutes later, I see him walking up. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? You know, the match just ended. What? Yeah, what the fuck you doing?
Well, luckily he was at Silverton, so I'm sure they paid him to be there as a tribute artist.
You think they would, man? I'm gonna have to hit them up about that. Good idea.
Maybe yeah,
we can have seriously. Santana Jackson performance.
Unfortunately, I think his contract with the MJ show buckles him in.
I don't believe so, because he only does one or two nights.
Right.
And when my buddy was going to do Boogie Nights, Santana was going to be involved in that. You know, I knew he couldn't when he went to Atlantic City, because he ended up going to the Boogie Nights thing. He didn't give a shit because he wasn't supposed to. But he posted and him was dancing and singing. And yeah, you're right. I was told that he probably wasn't supposed to do it. Nobody said anything.
Right.
But he went on the you know, the Facebook Live and performed a little at my buddy's nightclub. So
yeah.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he is and isn't able to do under that banner. But again, it's kind of hard. It isn't like, you know, they're paying him a 5 day a week salary.
Right.
So
yeah. All right. So the final thoughts this week, you know, going into what's going to be your final, you know, prep next week for the show.
Yeah. Before I get to that, I want to, you know, give a little update. I haven't heard a ton of stuff, but I talked with Brittany Brooks the other day, and Chris is being moved from the hospital to a rehab facility. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully they get things on track and he's on the road to recovery. That's the only info I got, but you know, that definitely has to be a good sign that they're moving him from the hospital to the rehab center. So,
right.
You know, hopefully next week I'll have more for everybody, but yeah, we're a little more than a week away. I'm really trying to push the envelope because of course everything came out late at the Silverton. So, you know, we're trying to move those front row tickets. You know, I know we should have a good amount of students getting an opportunity to be in the Rumble match for the first time. Sure. So, you know, help support FSW. It's the last casino show of the year, and it's a fan favorite of many. You know, that 30-person Rumble, 34-person Rumble. The winner will wrestle for Danny Limelight for the heavyweight championship in the main event. And, you know, full steam ahead. So, you know, we're looking forward to that show. Always a good one. And the undercard is four other championship matches. So there's going to be five title matches on the show.
Yeah. Yep. And again, you can get your tickets now or you're not able to make it out. If you're not in Vegas, you can catch it on Triller. And it's on the 24th at
5 p.m. So, you know, the day after the F1 race that everybody's eagerly excited for here in Vegas.
Yeah, excited to get that shit over with so we can tear that crap down and not have to worry about, man, the strip has been awful, man.
Yeah, it is funny, though. Like, you know, I get it, and I understand the business has been impacted. But, like, some of these businesses are acting, oh, really? Your restaurant's generating $20 million a year? Like, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
It's
more annoying.
Grocery stores talking about losing $100,000 a week. Come on.
No. It's just really annoying as a driver where you just can't make left-hand turns or it takes you three cycles of light to get through.
Oh, yeah. No, that's 1,000%. And I know businesses are suffering, especially with the bridge going over. But, you know, first off, if I'm making $20 million a year and I've been in business for 20 years, I should have $400 million, so I should be okay. One, you know, a close down of, you know, 3 weeks shouldn't have damaged my business so much because of all the money that I lost out on. Like, you know, maybe if you sued for a number that seemed realistic, you know, they could take care of you. But, you know, some of it just seems so outrageous. It's just like everybody's shooting for the glory.
Well, I think on that note, I think we'll end on the glory shot.
Yes.
And I think you just found another name for a high octane.
There you go.
Shooting for glory. High octane.
There you go. Always needing new names.
Right. Or hey, any of you youngsters out there listening, you've got the new finisher name, the Glory Shot. So There you go.
There that you go. You know, not only do we have a team called the BBC, we have a finisher called the BBC. So
on that note, everyone, enjoy the rest of your week and happy wrestling.